Sports Wrestling Podcast. Watch global. Support local. It's the B-Plus Wrestling Podcast.
The
moves. You might not be an A, but you are a B-Plus.
Check it out. Here we go. You want to mess with us? Let's just let me on the ground.
All right, ladies, gents, and non-binary friends, welcome to the B-Plus Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Does Things, here to do the thing where I talk about pro wrestling with two very good friends of mine, joining me from different states as we are all in lockdown, but we do this thing online anyway, even when we're not in lockdown. Over in Perth, Mr. Mysterious, how are you, my friend?
I'm fantastic. We're doing a different thing with Greg Does Things, aren't we?
Yeah, we're doing the thing where we do the thing live. Doing it live, uncensored, uncut, raw, all that good stuff. Benny the Ref, how are things down in Tasmania, across the strait, as it were?
It's all good down here. You know, I think there's only down to a couple of days ago, there was 14 active cases in the state of coronavirus.
Whoa. Of the sore throat thing. We can't say that now. We're on YouTube.
Was this on YouTube?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Right. We're like 20 seconds in and you fucked us already.
with
all the things that are happening in the world. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, no, we've been pretty good here in South Australia as well. Like we've been at, you can have 10 people over, I think it is now. 10, which is pretty cool. Pretty cool. It's nice how the government get to tell us how many people we're allowed to see at a time. That's always fun.
And I've worked 41 days in a row, so I just wanted to throw that in there because people need their coffee, apparently. Don't they, Greg?
Yes, we do. We do. Yes. We need our coffee.
Or so if they have a bitch and moan on the socials if they
don't
get there.
All right. Are we doing this? Are we doing this? Is this what's happening? Do we reveal where you guys work and why I have heat with you?
No, we don't need to go too far into
that. Stop fighting.
People need their coffee.
It's fine.
People need their monitors. I'm working.
I need my money,
it.
So I'm happy to do it. I'm doing at least 47 days in a row. So,
back at which is one of the reasons why we haven't had a podcast in 3 weeks. Because we were going to do this one last week, but you just were. I mean, exhaustion. Obviously, you'd worked 30 days in a row. It's fucking ridiculous. So I don't blame you for wanting to extend our break for an extra week, but. Here we are doing the thing where we do the thing live, and it's pretty cool to be.
And it's on video. We haven't mentioned the video aspect.
So anyone listening on the podcast,
how we go.
Yeah, anyone listening on the podcast player, do know that you can now find us on YouTube. I believe it's youtube.com/theBplus. I don't even know. I think it's just the B plus. But if you look up the B plus wrestling on YouTube, you'll be able to find us. I'm doing Twitch streams as well. That's at twitch.tv/GregDoesThings. So if you want to tune into the podcast live, it's at twitch.tv/GregDoesThings. If you want to watch it after the fact, you can always watch it at YouTube and you can see our beautiful faces as we do the thing where we talk about pro wrestling. I'm also doing Twitch streams of TEW, which for anyone who doesn't know is a wrestling booking sim. So I get to, you know, hire the workers, book the matches. And I've had a few people message me about the game. And so I'm going to do a video of where to get the game, how to install it, and how to put in real-life mods. Because everyone who has messaged me has zero interest in playing the fictional universe that I am playing. And everyone apparently thinks that I should just book WCW or AEW. Nobody wants to see me book this fictional company, but I'm seeing it through!
He has a vision, people.
I have
enact it.
A vision. I'm having fun. And I hate my fucking boss. It translates to the fictional world as well. I hate my goddamn billionaire boss who keeps blocking me on things. It's bullshit. And you guys should check it out on twitch.tv/GregDoesThings or youtube.com/TheBplus. But enough of the self-promotion. Let's start talking about some Aussie wrestling promotions, which I guess for you guys can be considered self-promotion in some ways. There's still not a lot going on at the moment.
No.
I've got my actual TCW referee shirt on.
Yes.
And Mysterious has his NHL.
I got my jersey on. So
yeah. Cool. I'm just wearing a flannel.
You guys can't see what you're wearing because for us, you're just a a photo.
Let's pull back the curtain. Because of the live streaming software and the way it all works with the camera capture, these guys can't see me. So if we talk over each other a little bit, we're still getting used to the new workflow. But we're doing pretty good. I'm rocking a flannel and a Richie Taylor shirt. I felt like Richie Taylor, flannel, beard that I got. I don't know. I felt like it worked.
Yeah. Indeed.
Yeah,
I'm Last a, of a dying breed.
I'm a big Richie Taylor fan. I have way too many Richie Taylor shirts. I break my black shirt rule for Richie Taylor. That's how much I like Richie Taylor. Richie Taylor, you know, not wrestling, much like a lot of the Australian wrestlers at the moment. They're finding other things to occupy their time. The Wrestle Rampage last night invaded the PWA watch party on Twitch. We were going to do this podcast last night, but I don't like the idea of going live against PWA watch parties. So
yeah, that's totally the reason we didn't record last night.
Yeah, well, there was also technical difficulties, but I really think we should rethink our time slot because going live against PWA watch parties is not a good idea, in my opinion. How do you guys feel about moving to this time slot, doing a Saturday instead of a Friday?
It depends.
All right, we'll talk about this later.
when wrestling is on, wrestling tends to be on Saturdays, and I'll be in Melbourne or at shows.
Right.
Was Wednesday was our night for a while, wasn't it?
When wrestling is on, we're not going to be live against PWA watch parties. We'd be live against PWA itself, in which case we could always be like, we're going to do different days on that specific week, you know, when they have an actual show on the Friday night. So
checking on overplay and all that, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, because I'll be watching.
Depends if you're going to cancel on us, Greg, doesn't it?
Me, look, here's the thing. Life happens.
Here's the thing. Okay. How many people don't realize how many times they're like, oh, it's an hour until we're about to record a podcast, and Greg's like, I'm not feeling it tonight, boys. So it's like, oh, gosh, okay.
It doesn't happen that often. Come on.
We can go back through the messages.
It's happened more lately. It has happened more lately. But now that we're in
the new
format. I
thought we've actually been better lately.
Now that we're in the new format, I think we'll be okay. I think we'll be okay. But talking about PWA, though, they are one of the companies still doing announcements and things of that nature. Because we're trucking along towards October. The entire Australian wrestling community, the entire wrestling world, you could say, I guess, have their eyes on October. Wrestling returns to Australia. PWA Coliseum, October 16 and 17, I think. Is that the date? Have I got the date right? 16, 17?
Yes.
Yes. Cool.
Yes.
The Coliseum, as of right now, as of this recording, it's happening. And things are going pretty well here in Australia, so the likelihood of it happening is pretty high. I'm just hoping that that our states all start to agree with New South Wales and think that cross-border travel is okay, because as it stands right now, if it was tomorrow, I wouldn't be able to go to the show because I can't leave South Australia.
I've booked the Friday off. I can go. It's just a matter of, and flights are, this is crazy cheap at the moment from Launceston to get to Sydney, so I'm all good to go as long as I know that I don't have to self-quarantine and all that sort of nonsense.
Yeah. So hopefully that's all cleared up by October. It's looking like it will be. Coliseum 16 and 17, and the reason I bring it up, obviously, we do have the announcement there of our competitors. So we've already talked about Royce Chambers entering the Coliseum, or the Thunderdome, as it's called this time around. But we had a second competitor announced last week.
Yes, we did. We had the wonderful, the amazing Madison Eagles.
Yeah. Considered at one point best women's wrestler in the world.
Yeah.
So, Madison Eagles, you have been noticed. I'm so stoked for seeing Madison Eagles. On the TEW live stream, I did one of the guys who tuned in and was watching for a bit, he commented that he wants to see Madison Eagles against Sean Spears. That was his fantasy WrestleMania weekend booking. So shout out Alex Pierce, I think was the guy's name. And wants to see Madison Eagles against Sean Spears. So maybe Sean Spears can get announced for Coliseum.
What would anybody want to watch a Sean Spears match, though?
Sean Spears.
What's he doing?
But we had an AEW star last year at Coliseum in Orange Cassidy, and we had Travis Banks, NXT UK star. So
you can't
there
rule
is potential.
It could happen. It could absolutely happen. Yeah. What's not going to happen, though, is anyone being at MCW Ballroom Brawl.
No.
So they did announce...
I just assumed it'll be months and months before we get an MCW show, so it was I was surprised they hadn't cancelled it soon, actually.
Yeah, I mean, everything was kind of on hold, but they announced officially that they were cancelling MCW Ballroom Brawl, which was scheduled to take place June 13. And they cancelled that officially just last week as we're recording this. And I actually think it was a good move because there's a lot of uncertainty. And just being able to outright say it's not happening, like, that takes balls.
Yeah.
Which is
no false hope, just
weird to say, but it takes balls.
Anything else cancelled that we know of yet? Or we, those are the major shows, I suppose.
Nothing else is announced that I know of, yeah. PCW are still trucking away in Melbourne. They're doing, like, online content similar to what NWA are doing with Carnyland. Like, it's not a wrestling show. They're just doing different shows and stuff that they're putting up on their network deal. But so there is still plenty of content, though, is the important thing to talk about. You know, in line with the NWA Carnyland. So NWA started a thing this week. Have you guys seen it?
Yes.
No, I had no idea. Why don't you tell me what it is, please?
So NWA Carnyland is like just this crazy, ridiculous, I don't know how to explain it, but it's like a fantasy universe, and Stu, is his name Stu Bennett now? Everyone gets a segment, but he's the voiceover guy, and he just erases the commentator at will and pulls him into a void, and that's nice and fun. And then there were like stories about dodgy promoters. I think Nick Aldis was telling a story about a dodgy NWA affiliated promoter from back in the day, you know, not booking his hotel and stuff. And so it lives up to its name, Carnyland. You know, lots of stories about carnies, of carnies, by carnies, but it's interesting. And there's different shows and stuff. So one day it's like inside the NWA and they're talking to Dave Lagana and Billy Corgan. And then the next day it's Eli Drake's show and he's just mouthing off about how Vince McMahon's whole, if you don't want to work in this time, you're not going to get punished for it, is bullshit. And he's given all his hot takes, which is fun.
Yeah. Yeah. They're spicy. They're very spicy. So we also have the MLW anthology series that's come out. They had last week, we had LA Park, and they're going to have a lot of their current stars and a lot of stars from way back when. I've been really looking forward to that as well.
Yeah, they're not the only ones looking back either. Impact have gone back. Like, they've got a special next week, I think, where they're looking at the history of TNA and stuff. So there's a lot of that. There's also lots of people starting podcasts. Robbie Eagles has started a new podcast talking about his backyard wrestling days. And so he's pulling up a bunch of Australian backyard wrestling superstars, I guess, from the heyday of HVWA and those kind of things that made the rounds online. It's called Those Were the Days. It's a very good listen if you're interested in wrestling history. Just hearing the impact that those guys had is kind of crazy.
So Shazza McKenzie started one as well, didn't she?
Yes, that's so Shazza. Listened to that this morning. That was great. Really happy to see Shazza. Not enough women in wrestling podcasting.
I think her real name, her shoot name, is much better than Shazza McKenzie from what I saw on what she posted in the Australian wrestling community Facebook page.
No one masking. We're not about that.
No.
I'm not going to say what it is. I'm like, that's a better name.
Yeah. Yeah. No, she has a good shoot name, but you don't use your... I don't even know if that's her shoot name, to be honest. I think she's working... She's working the work in the work. I think her Facebook... I'm pretty sure she had to change her Facebook to a different work name, a different worked name, because, you know, people were finding her with her shoot name.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't even know anymore. I don't know her name.
I talked to
this woman and I don't know her name. And you know what? That's fine. She's Shazza.
Still real to Shazza. You, damn it.
It is still real to me, damn it. Don't most workers get called by their work name by most people they know anyway? Like within,
I wouldn't have a clue.
Within the industry?
I'll go back and forward at TCW. Like there's some people I'll call their actual name, and like the people that I see more or less will get different names, I suppose.
Yeah. See, like, I know some of
I've trained with you many times, so I know you as your perform.
Yeah. I know some, like, I know some of the ACW guys, some of the Riot City guys, I know some of the Rampage guys, but I still, like, if I was to run into, you know, Rat Daddy at the shops, I'd be like, hey, Rat. Like, I don't know why. I'm just, that's just what I know him as. That's what I know these people as, and that's what I call them. Is that weird? Am I weird?
No, it just sets up like just right out of the gate. You're just going like, oh, I know you from this. So
I don't need anyone to answer that question. I'm very weird. I'm a strange person. Gino has a show on NJPW World now. So it's five shots. And so they take a shot and they answer a question. So five shots with Gino. And so he's had a few people on the show now. He's mostly talking to his Bullet Club buddies, as you'd expect, because kayfabe.
Yeah.
but so that's on NJPW World. Lots of people, you know, doing things to pass the time. Pro Wrestling Audio with Bonza. Basically, everyone's like, hey, now that we can't wrestle, let's do the thing that these guys do. And so now no one's going to watch this. And that's fine. It's fine, you guys. That's cool.
Imposters. It's all right. Imposters, a lot of them.
We warmed the space up for you. It's fine. We loosened the jar.
Nice.
Yeah. But Pro Wrestling Audio with Jack Bonza. Man, I've said it before. I've said it when I've interviewed him. And you guys will notice I haven't done a lot of interviews lately. And part of that is because there's a lot of stuff out there right now. Just go listen to them. Go listen to their stuff. I know that's an awful thing to say, but go listen to their stuff. I will get back into interviewing and stuff as well now that we've got the new setup and I can sort of focus on things a little bit more. Still have uni, still have real life, all that sort of stuff, but I will get back to interviewing as well because I know a lot of people have asked me about that too. And I do want to put good interviews out there. It's kind of my favorite thing about this whole thing is doing the interviews. But what I said when I interviewed Bonza is I could listen to that guy talk wrestling forever. And now he has his own show, so I can. And I'm enjoying it a lot. I've listened to each episode at least twice.
Very nice.
So I just want to put that out there. Go subscribe to Pro Wrestling Audio with Bonza. Go subscribe to Robbie's new show. Check out Gino's new show. Check out Shaz's show. All well worth listening to. There's others. I'm sure there's others I'm forgetting. But there's plenty of content out there, even though no one's wrestling. So get around the Aussie wrestling community.
But you want... Oh, hold on. What happened?
What's
Something
wrong?
Just happened with the Zoom. I just got a message. It said,
upgraded to unlimited. Yeah.
Okay. Well, good. Oh, geez. I thought it was like, thank you for using Zoom. no. Please come again next time. Like, oh, fuck.
They've given us 3 minutes. Thanks, Zoom. This podcast, okay. Proudly brought to you by Zoom. Not paid for at all by Zoom. This is not... Zoom do not endorse anything we say because I'm sure I'm going to get conspiratorial at some point.
Honestly, you have a bunch of creatives who can't do the thing that they love. So they're going to express themselves in other ways. And then, yeah, that just happens to be podcasting. So why not?
Yeah, it's one of the ways.
Speaking of Aussies that want to wrestle, there is one place where they're all out to wrestle and there's a whole heap of them there.
That's true. We do have a lot of Aussies wrestling where wrestling is still allowed. So some people have enough money to be classified as essential businesses. Oh, Vinnie Mac. We can talk about Vinnie Mac a little bit more when we get to Dark Side of the Ring, I think. But old Vinnie Mac, his territory still has plenty of Aussies working. I've brought up a picture here that you guys can't see. But we've
is this
got...
the one with the seven of them all side by side?
Is it seven?
With the flag there. Was it seven or eight?
Try 10.
I did see...
Sorry? 10. Billy Kay, Peyton Royce, Brendan Vink, Shane Thorne, Indy Hartwell, Rhea Ripley, Bronson Reed, Buddy Murphy... Murphy, because... Having two names is a sin. Daniel Vadeau. Should we just start calling him Vadeau now? Let's just call him Dot. Dot. Right? It's only a matter of time. Tony Storm. So there's 10 Aussies working over there at the moment.
You'd forget that Tony Storm was there, wouldn't you? Because she's just on NXT UK. Are they still...
I haven't watched WWE or NXT in months. So I couldn't tell you. I am excited to watch NXT in your house.
Yes.
I'm mostly because of the branding, right?
Yeah. They better have the stage there, I suppose.
It's been like, what, over 20 years? Like they had a little segment with DX introducing the whole thing.
Has it been that long?
It's been so long, yeah.
Wow. Well, it would have been like 96 or 97, wouldn't it, last time?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, so they're bringing back In Your House for NXT and as an NXT TakeOver. And what a better time, right? Like, just because of we're all in our house. And so it makes sense. And I think it's clever. And it's also playing on the nostalgia thing, which everything's about nostalgia these days. So I'm into it, man. I think it's good. They do have to have the stage, though, right? They have to.
I sure hope so. Yeah.
And somebody better get thrown through the window. or through the door or whatever it is.
I'm just, sorry. I keep getting distracted.
They threw Mysterio off the top of the headquarters. I'm sure they have potential.
Yeah. Oh God, we haven't talked about Money in the Bank. Dude, no, we haven't talked about Money in the Bank. I've got the NXT In Your House picture up here, but just cycling back to the Aussies though. Apparently Vink is in line for a push. We're gonna talk about that quickly.
They got a tag team win, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, they actually won. Like I'd lamented a few times on this show about they're working, but they're just fucking getting called up to lose constantly.
Yeah.
They've turned it around. They have a storyline going where they've got a manager. I don't know. I'm not paying attention. Mysterious fill us in.
Yeah, well, they've got the MVP who is slowly forming a few new guys. It looks like maybe Lashley is going to be joining them as well. Essentially, the way, according to PW Insider and everyone else, they're saying a slow burn kind of thing, similar to Braun Strowman. Vince loves the fact that he is 6'5", which is his handle on his socials, which is hilarious. And what more is there to say? Like, you take one look at the guy and just like, yep. Yeah, you can see why Vince likes him.
Well, he's hilarious too. He has a $1 million smile, first off. And he's just hilarious. Like, if you've ever watched his YouTube shows, when he was Elliot Sexton, of course. Just unbelievably funny and amazing sense of comedic timing. And Vince loves it when you can do good shit, right? Like, I'm sure Vink could pop Vince. I reckon that could happen.
Yeah.
Like, with his sense of humor. I think that...
How long he'll stay in his good graces is up to anyone's guess. But for now, it looks like the future could be a bit... Yeah, well, it's on the up for him.
Fingers crossed, we have an Aussie top guy. Right? Because, I mean, there's no face of WWE at the moment. Like, we haven't talked about Roman Reigns too much, but, you know, how much is Roman Reigns going to suffer from choosing to stay home? We're seeing Sami Zayn suffer, which we'll talk about shortly, but how much is Roman Reigns going to suffer? Like, they haven't mentioned him on TV at all. Is it just to make it so it's super hot when he gets back? Are they going to wait till there's a crowd for him to come back? Or is he in Vinny's doghouse?
It's hard to say. Like, they edited him out of that WrestleMania 31 montage where Seth Rollins cashed in on himself or Lesnar.
Yeah.
The
way they showed it, like the way they cut it, he wasn't there, but he was half of that match.
They're not vindictive at all, though, are they?
Not at all.
He won't be punished.
No, you won't be punished at all. Look, okay, I keep getting distracted. Let's address the unemployed elephant. Who is that behind your microphone there, Benny the Ref?
Who is what? Oh, Zach Ryder behind the microphone here. He was standing up, but he kept falling on me. So
he's being the guest star on the podcast is little man Zach Ryder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, how do you feel about your release? Make him stand properly. How do you feel about your release, Zach? No comment? Okay. All right. Moving on.
What more is there to say?
He says, take care and spike your hair.
Take care and spike your hair. I'm into it.
See how long he stays there for.
I'm into
it. Getting some glare.
Should we talk about... That's better. I can see his face better now. I won't be distracted by that at all. That's fine. This is fine. This is life now. Okay. Why did we decide to go to video? Whose idea was this? This is Big Boy Mikey's idea. All right.
I threw it out. There is an offhand thing. And then you're like, yeah, we're totally going to do it. It's like, oh, shit. Now I've got to commit to it now.
Yeah, we've been talking about it since we started. It's good to actually be in a place where we can do it. Let's talk about Money in the Bank because we haven't been together since that show happened. Did anyone else watch it?
Yeah.
Benny's just like, nope. Is that an Oscar mask?
No, it's Erica Reid.
Oh, right. Oh,
of course. The homemade merch stuff.
Yeah, nice. The homemade stuff. I love their WSW homemade merch.
In November.
I want to get the voodoo dolls.
Yeah, all that stuff that they make is really cool.
Yeah, I have a Sid Parker shirt, and it's like they've painted it themselves and stuff. And I'm like, that's so dope. Like, the DIY merch, I'm super into it. I think it's great, and it works for them. But yeah, let's not get carried away on too much of a tangent there. Big supporters of Erica Reid and Sid Parker. But yeah, Money in the Bank, it was a decent show. I'm struggling to remember it at this point, but I really did enjoy the way they did the Money in the Bank matches, except It really felt like this is what you get when you tell Vince McMahon that the crowd like cinematic matches.
Yes.
There was a food fight. There was people slipping on a wet floor that didn't have caution wet floor signs. Or did it have the sign? I don't even remember. But someone slipped on a floor. There was a food fight. That's all you need to know. Like, Vince, come on. Come on. No one finds the things funny that you find funny. You are old. You are out of touch. Just stop. Just stop. Just stop. Did anyone laugh at that?
I don't know. I didn't watch this, so I've got no comment. But there was something to do with an elevator as well, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was an elevator segment. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. Asuka, didn't Asuka start one floor up? She started on a higher level than them, and then she jumped off to attack them. Yep. Why would there you do that? Run, people, bitch! Yeah, run! You have a head start. The logic.
It was just no a logic. big scramble. And like you can tell that we're in the I don't know what kind of era we can call this now, but just the fact that they even brawled in Vince McMahon's office, they attempted to, and Vince just kicked them out. And like you have the characters of old who would just said like, screw you, old man. Like, but no, they're just like, oh, I'm sorry, Vince, we'll back away, we'll back away.
Yeah, well, the interesting thing was it wasn't Vince McMahon the character, right? It was Vince McMahon the actual behind-the-scenes boss that they walked in on. It wasn't...
So it was Mr. McMahon. No,
Mr. McMahon. It was
Vince McMahon, not Mr. McMahon.
Yeah, it was Vince McMahon, not Mr. McMahon. So it's, you know, you would be scared of Vince McMahon because we've already discussed it. He's very vindictive.
Was there something with Stephanie that was obviously filmed in a different place and just sent in? I heard something about
it. It feels
that.
Like it was. Yeah, the audio on that thing. Yeah, she wasn't there.
Okay.
She had a body double? Is that something. What we're... Oh, wait, hang on. I got the perfect stinger for this. Tell me all about Stephanie McMahon having a body double, please. Please. Is she a clone? Is cloning a thing? John Cena's a clone. I'm convinced of that. How is he in so many places at once?
John Cena's Instagram is so amazing, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's really made me turn around on my opinion of him. It's just like, you really... If you don't know what he's talking about, then it could be completely bizarre to anyone.
Yeah.
It's a time and place with him.
So, but the point was Money in the Bank happened. And there was good, there was bad. People got murdered, which was fun to see. Is anyone investigating that? Have they been on TV since?
They resurrected the next day, didn't they?
Yeah, they were resurrected the next day. And then Rey Mysterio got stabbed in the eye. And... Yeah, now we don't know what's going on.
Rey Mysterio,
his contract was almost up, I think.
He hasn't signed. He's got some time on it, but he's assessing his options, apparently.
Yeah, well, Drew Gulak did that for a while, and then the contract ran out. So don't do it for too long. Right, don't do it for too long. Do you reckon AEW will make an offers to Rey?
Oh, God, I wish I'd just stopped signing people. Like, they've got so many people. Let's just focus on who we got.
Yeah, well, they have to avoid the, like, getting branded like Impact or like TNA of being, like, taking everyone from WWE. So, I will say, you had Rey was the main event of All In. So, there is some history there.
Yeah.
If they wanted to, but you have to take in the fact that Rey wants Dominic to work for WWE. And then if he does go to AEW and we say Vince is vindictive, it's not going to look too great for him.
Yeah, Vince is vindictive. I think that's the tagline.
Ray is so injury prone, you just wouldn't want to get him in the first place. It's like, how many knee surgeries does he have?
Yeah.
Oh, but he's in the best shape of his career at the moment, I'd argue.
Yeah, I suppose. I've heard his promo work's been the best he's ever done as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You touched on not wanting AEW to be sort of the second TNA and just get those guys. But there's a big difference in the way they've used, in the way they book. Right, there's a big difference between like John Moxley going in and ultimately becoming the champion versus Christian Cage. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like there's been a big difference so far. Like the way they book things, it doesn't feel hokey. That said, when we do our Double or Nothing preview, which people can watch after this, when we do our Double or Nothing preview live, I am gonna talk about that because I do worry about them getting that stigma, especially with all the releases that have happened. And they've got a mystery man for the ladder match, right? It's got to be one of these WWE release guys, doesn't it?
You would think so. It can't be someone already on the... It can be, obviously. Like, you can't... It's hard to imagine with AEW, but regardless, it's going to be an amazing show.
Yeah. Yeah, and we'll talk about that later, but let's get back to the WWE news here. Something else that happened just after Money in the Bank. Becky the Mum Lynch. Mm-hmm. Take us through this, Mysterious.
I should say this as well. So, all right, well, I'll start with that. So the winners of the Money in the Bank for the men and the women respectively were Asuka and Otis.
Right. And yes. Oh, Otis. Yeah. How can we forget that? Otis. Cool.
They didn't climb the ladder, just had it.
Because this show is not a joke. I love Otis. To put it out there, I love Otis. I think he's great. I think there's a place for comedy in wrestling. I love comedy in wrestling. Do I think he should be someone who has a potential shot at the world title at any given time? No. No, absolutely not. I don't know.
He did mention a few weeks ago that he would like to use that to go after the tag titles, maybe. Great. But obviously, they had that little fake out on SmackDown where he may have cashed in on Braun. But yeah, we don't know what he's going to do with it later. But back to Becky. So Becky had this big announcement on the day after Raw, which was pre-taped, a day before her big 400th day as Raw Women's Champion. And she said that she had to go away for a while and that she was awarding Asuka the Raw Women's Championship, which was what the belt was for, because it turns out she is pregnant.
Yeah, which is something that's never happened before. Shazza McKenzie on That's So Shazza episode 1 has some interesting things to say about this and just what it means for women in wrestling and how important it is because she's going away at the top of her game. And, and she's going to come back presumably if she chooses to, she's going to come back at the top of her game as well and go straight back into kicking ass, which is something that's never been done. So I would recommend going to listen to Shazza's podcast about that. But, it's unprecedented. It's pretty cool.
I will have to say though, so obviously because it was pre-taped the day after that announcement, WWE released, just shirts that said the Mum instead of the Man.
Yeah, like the but same I'd, style I'd, as the Man. Yeah.
But I'd argue she is Irish. Like, they could have just said the Ma. It was right there, and they didn't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Does Seth get shirts now that say, I'm the Daddy? Like, is he going to have Seth Rollins gimmick?
Well, he's still on Raw. He's still paying the bills, like, maybe in some regard. I don't know. Was he going away?
Hey, this year he might actually earn more than her.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
I don't know. I don't know their personal finances, but surely last year she earned more than Seth Rollins. Surely.
Most likely.
Like, you would hope so. She's the biggest star in the company. She's when you take out the part-timers, she's the biggest star in the company.
Yeah.
Which is its own unprecedented thing to be happening. And then for her to say, I'm the biggest star in the company, and I'm going to take this time off because it's important for me to have children. By the way, let's talk about what a piece of shit Jim Cornette is. Right?
Again?
Well, did you guys see his takes on this? Did you see his takes?
Although I did like something that he did on Dark Side of the Ring.
But yes.
What did I miss here?
No, so Jim Cornette basically said, you got plenty of time to be a mother. Like, how often can you be the top person in the entire industry? I think he forgets that some people don't live for wrestling. And if you choose for wrestling to be your entire life and you're happy to, forego a family and happy to forego, going to your kids' baseball games and happy to forego all those things, if you're happy to do that for the industry of wrestling, great, brilliant. Do that. Do you, boo. Other people in your life may fall off because of that. But I'm sure that Jim Cornette has experienced these things. I don't know his personal story. I don't know his personal life. But I'm sure with the dedication he's had, he's seen a lot of things go by the wayside for his love of pro wrestling. But he needs to understand that not everyone is going to have that same mindset.
No.
He's done a great job of staying in wrestling headlines for like 12 months straight, it seems like. The year of Jim. Far out.
Oh, dear.
He can't stay out of the limelight.
He can't stay away.
Yeah, but it was trash. And Seth Rollins has hit back and stuff. And we try not to cover too much drama stuff. But, like, I just wanted to say his take on this was, it was really awful. Like, she can still come back and be a top star. And, you know, being a mum is something that, you know, there is a clock on that. Like, there is. It's extended now, thank you, science. But there's still a clock on that.
Like, Ronda Rousey, like, she's gone for this exact reason.
Yeah, but I don't think he'd say anything about that because, A, she could legitimately kick his ass. Honestly, Becky probably could too. But but I think as well, like, I don't think he looks at her as a wrestling star. I think he always looks at her as a fly-by-nighter. But, yeah.
Well, she's already talking shit about wrestling, so I'm sure he's mad about that anyway.
Oh, yeah, he would be. He would be. He loves wrestling. Yeah. We'll say that much about him, right? Like, if we want to be positive, this is the show of positivity. B+, be positive. Jim Cornette loves professional wrestling. That's the nicest thing I could say about the man.
Yeah. You
know? It really is. And I respect that. No, I do have some good things to say about him when we talk about Dark Side of the Ring. Vince is vindictive. Dark Side of the Ring. Sami Zayn. Fill in the gaps.
Yeah.
Who wants to fill in the gaps?
What's happened with Sami Zayn? He just doesn't want to go to work during these times, so they've taken the title off him. A title that is absolutely meaningless. It is a non-story.
I don't think it's a non-story. I don't think you can call it a non-story. Mysterious, what's your take?
Well, it's pretty clear. Like, he made it very clear why he didn't want to wrestle, and the phrase "unable to compete," and I really didn't like that. I expected him to lose. At some point, you have to make him go, like, look, you have to understand what's going on. And like, you hear the stories how for Vince, like, this everything going on is just an inconvenience for him. He doesn't really quite comprehend what's going on. But yeah, the fact that after what, over 5-6 years, Sami Zayn finally got a championship and he didn't defend it as a wrestler, he defended it as like a heel manager, and now, yeah. Now we have this whole mess with this tournament, and it's yeah.
There's been whispers of him attempting to unionize his co-workers. You know, he definitely leans more to the David Starr side of politics than the Vince McMahon Undertaker side of politics, which you can see.
Did Sami Zayn re-sign like last year though?
Yes.
I feel like it wasn't that long ago that we heard that he signed another contract.
I think it was. And he's one of those guys where if anyone listens to Voices of Wrestling, like, I'm a big Voices of Wrestling listener, and I agree with them on about as much as I disagree with them, but I will agree with them on this. If you're one of the
people... I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, if you're one of the people that complains about the way the company's doing business and you want this or you want that, or you don't like the way you're treated or any of that sort of stuff, but then you re-sign, now it's time to shut the fuck up.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah, because once you re-sign, you lose all authority to speak. Well, not lose all authority. That's what the Voices of Wrestling guys would say. They would say you lose all authority to speak out because you signed. You can be the kind of person who wants to change things from within. That's a thing. I don't think it works, especially not in a machine the size of WWE.
No.
Yeah. Even less so in a machine the size of...
The thing that they convince themselves to think that they can do while also... taking the money.
So. Look, it's more likely than being able to change a machine the size of the entire United States. So if you're in the United States and you're voting, you're a chump, right? If voting actually let you... Sorry, I forgot to hit the stinger.
Yeah, I was going to say, where's the
tune? If voting actually let you do anything, they would not let you do it. If you could change something by voting, they would not let you do it. End of story. Anyway.
Well, I'll let me tell you something. I just want to believe.
You just want to believe? Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, that stinger's good, but it's not as good for, like, anti-government conspiracies and more. It's better for, like, weird stuff like clones or whatever. I'm going to have to come up with something else. Maybe just a clip of Alex Jones, you know? I'll eat your ass! Did you guys see that? Alex Jones said he would eat someone's ass. Like, if the world was ending, he was trying to say that he would be a cannibal. Like he would eat his neighbors if he had to. But he said, "I'll eat your ass," and it just got cut, and it became this viral clip that "I'll eat your ass." And it, yeah, Alex Jones, he's into ass play apparently. Undertaker wears right wing shirts on his documentary, and a lot of people are upset about that. I just wanted to throw that in there. So Sami Zayn definitely leans more to the David Starr side than the Vince McMahon or Undertaker side. And I feel like that's playing into this as well.
Yeah.
Which, gross.
Guess we'll see when everything gets back to normal.
Let people have their politics. Let him try to unionize. It's probably not going to work. Just don't be a vindictive prick about it. I don't understand. Like, do you know how much money Sami Zayn could make for you?
You know? A lot, yeah.
Like, he's so good at what he does. He is so good. Like, he's got to be one of the best in the world because he was such a great babyface, so lovable, so relatable, and just like that, he's one of the most punchable faces in the entire industry. How did he do it? How does he do both so well? Like, the dude is money. I don't know.
Well, somebody obviously doesn't see it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't fucking get it. And you know what? This is a rare occasion. So I'm going to talk about when we get to Dark Side of the Ring, I'm going to talk about the rare occasion where you agree with Jim Cornette, right? This is a rare occasion where I agree with Vince Russo.
Oh, okay. What are we talking about now?
Did you see Vince Russo's takes on WWE right now? He's like, it's trash. Why would anyone want to watch this? You're acting like none of this stuff is happening, which obviously Vince Russo doesn't go on YouTube. But
he just wants a job. Come on.
No, but he's talking about how, like, you know what story I want to tell? You know what story I want to see play out on my TV? I want to see the story of Sami Zayn not wanting to come to work. I want to see the story of why he thinks this, why he's doing this, why are you stripping him of the title? Don't do any of this bullshit. Let's address it. And that's the thing that I agree with him at. And the thing that he sort of came to prominence with in the 90s was he rode that wave of reality TV. And he was like, we need to be more real. We need to be more gritty, right? And his idea of real and gritty was Jerry Springer. And it's kind of shit a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But he was onto something. And people do like real. People like human stories. And Sami Zayn not wanting to go to work in the middle of a global pandemic is a fucking human story. There are a lot of people out there that relate to that right now, and there are a lot of people who would love to see that story play out. Focus on that.
It would make themselves look bad, though, if they're like, let's just put this on our own programming that somebody doesn't want to work for us for this reason. Like, I can't see him doing
Vince
that.
McMahon used to be unafraid. Like, he's unafraid to make himself look like an idiot. Why would you be unafraid to make yourself look like an evil corporate ass? I don't understand. I don't understand where it's gone wrong. He used to...
Vince they need to try something, obviously. They're struggling.
Yeah, having human stories and having people filming things from their home with their iPhone, it's compelling. It's good stuff. The Carnyland promo that started Carnyland with Eddie Kingston just being like looking down the barrel of his phone and just saying, we miss being out there for you guys. That's the reality of it. And like, this is Eddie Kingston. He's a heel. But the promo he cut was just so compelling and fascinating. And we want to see that stuff. I don't know. It's WWE just don't get it anymore. And their programming is awful. And I agree with Vince Russo. And I would like to see this Sami Zayn story play out on TV instead of in dirt sheets.
We had AEW, like when they begun their show, their first empty arena show, like, what did they do? The very first thing, they had Cody come out, address the camera. They had all the Elite come out afterwards. Like, they just, flat out, they just talk to people and they explain, just like, I know it's hard to be, I know we could be afraid right now, but we're choosing to persevere.
Yeah. And then they have kind of gone back into their little wrestling bubble and they're just doing their thing now. And they don't really address it too much either. But I feel like their show has a lot more, like Eli Drake said on his Carnyland show that wrestling has no soul at the moment. Hi, Kitty. Hi. But I disagree. I think AEW's show does still feel like it has some level of soul.
Yeah.
I think the little crowd, how do they have that crowd?
I think it's the crowd that gives it that, really.
Is it just staff? Or are they letting people into that arena and just not letting people know? It
looked like there was some, like, teenagers or somebody there like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
When they went up through the crowd area.
And it sounded like there were quite a few more people there than I could see. And I'm like, are they piping this in? I don't know, but it's working. It feels better than watching anything else.
There's some life there.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's... And the crowd is definitely the soul, which is so crazy. Like, it's unlike anything else. Definitely not like football. You can have football without a crowd.
Yes, you can.
You can. You can have legit proper sports.
They had it for a week before they took it away in April.
Yeah. You know who can't have football without a crowd, though? At least for now. Vince McMahon. Because XFL closed and filed for bankruptcy. And apparently he's just stealing a play out of Donald Trump's playbook so he can buy it back for cents on the dollar later. Allegedly. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
to do what with? A possible third attempt? Or... What is going on?
He just can't let go. Like, there's really, what more is there to say about that?
Know.
Like, the rumors that his creditors, like, they don't think that he is going to.
Oh, frozen. What's going on? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
My video's frozen.
Yeah, your video's frozen. But. but it's all right. We'll persevere.
Okay.
When you dropped out last night after the technical issues, Mysterious here was like, well, no, we were talking about potentially just putting a screenshot of you and just,
I was going to say, just do it.
Yeah, just go to you for your take every now and then and just be like, oh, no, nothing to say. Okay. I'll get a clip of you playing with your cat and we'll just loop that.
Okay. It'd be like Speed. It's like I've really left and you just have no idea that the bus has already stopped.
Nice.
So he wants to buy. I don't know. I don't know if I believe it. I don't know if I believe the him wanting to buy it back thing. Because if he does want to buy it back and try again, he's an idiot. Because he's getting sued by his commissioner, right? Was it Oliver Luck? Is that the guy's name?
Can't remember the name, but yeah, he's getting sued by his commissioner.
He's an actual well-respected football guy who's been around football for his entire career. And there's no way. He's not going to do legitimate sports ever again. He's ruined it. There's no way he could step into that world and be respected at this point. You know? So, don't bother. Just let it die, Vinny.
And again, allegedly, he could maybe see this himself, but yeah, rumor innuendo, maybe we might see him try and buy back the name and then sit on it for another decade or something. I don't know.
We've got you back, Benny, and now we're looking at Zack Ryder's junk.
Yeah,
I just had to like take the phone out of the stand.
Have you tried turning it off and turning it back on again?
Years.
Oh, no.
Nikki Bella's been doing the rounds.
Yeah.
Oh, what? Nikki Bella's been doing the rounds? That sounds a bit rude.
Mate, get you.
All right. I've got a different angle. Am I right?
You're good.
Yeah, you're fine. You're good. Nikki Bella's been doing the rounds. She's promoting her new book, I guess. They have a book?
Yeah. It's a memoir from both of them, I suppose. So.
Yeah. Because they're just one person. Is it a it's a WWE sanctioned book, right? Because some of the stuff I've been seeing is she had stories in there about John Cena. She had a sex story specifically about John Cena that WWE were like, no, you're taking that out. And John Cena had right of removal for anything written about him, and WWE had final say as well. So there's some stories. She has been doing the podcast rounds, the media rounds, and she said that there's stories she wants to tell about John Cena, but she's not allowed to. Freedom of speech, motherfuckers. Let us hear it. Like, what is that?
You just use a different name. Just use redacted or whatever.
Redacted. Yeah. You got to get out from under that WWE umbrella, boo. There's people out there that'll let you say whatever the fuck you want to say. Why do you still need to be there? Why are you, like, why are you still suckling at the teat? Is it just because she wants to come back if her neck heals up?
Is it like a Legends contract where they can be used for events and things?
Do you have like Total Bellas? Is that still going, or like one of the shows might still be going? Yeah.
But like they've got their own podcast, right? And they've got their own, I don't know, I haven't followed it or anything, but they've got their own podcast. They've got like fashion lines and stuff. Like they have other income streams. Surely they don't, I'm pretty sure they're at a point now where they don't need that that Vince McMahon money.
I'm sure Breeze would be fine being with Brian.
So. Well, I guess maybe, well, vindictive, maybe Brian gets punished if the Bellas leave. You know, who fucking knows?
Yeah.
But Breeze pregnant again, heavily. So maybe they don't want to risk it. I don't know. If they're on one of the Legends contracts or whatever, I guess it makes sense. But yeah, so she's doing the rounds, though, and there's stuff that she wants to say, but she can't. So she's got the WWE mute button on.
Well, that's the juicy story. That's what's going to sell the book, isn't it? So, and if she can't air the dirty laundry, then who's going to want to read it as much?
Well, you're not promoting it very well if you're like, there's stuff I wanted to say, but I couldn't. Like, but please go buy it. Like, what is that?
I feel she like did actually air John Cena things. Is such a secretive person. So, like, it's quite intriguing, really.
Yeah. Yeah, and she wants to respect his privacy as well, but you know, apparently not as much as he wanted to, because one of the stories did get removed. So, come on, John. I mean, look, if you're willing to, you know, call yourself the most overrated superstar in history and have yourself wiped by Bray Wyatt and stuff, and if you're willing to make fun of yourself in that avenue, why can't you? Like, I get that it's your real life, but like, was it really real life? Like, you were on Total Divas. Like, I don't know. There's such a blurring of the lines there, you know. When you're a public figure on that level of being a public figure, there's a blurring of the lines. I don't know. It's so hard to have an opinion on, but that's not the only thing. There was something about negligence with her neck injury that you mentioned, Mysterious, and I wasn't aware of this. Yeah. I didn't see this story.
So when she had to go get neck surgery, like when she was Divas champion and then she had to take a break for a while, but during that time, WWE kind of were telling her, don't worry about getting MRIs, and like, oh, they'll find nothing. They were very like,
wow.
She pretty much said that WWE were negligent in recognizing her neck injury, that she had to take time off. And then of course she had to, they both had to retire, but just, yeah, she let, like, even when they were, she was explaining that she couldn't feel things, like couldn't feel her legs, like during matches and a couple things like that. Just like, they didn't have any explanation for it.
Wow. I think Brie Moore retired, Brie retired more for having the babies and also having to deal with social media and kids, having to deal with social media and people's opinions and people being just assholes online, which we're going to get to at the end of the show, don't worry. But Nikki, it was definitely because of the neck. That's crazy. I didn't know, it's like the CM Punk thing, right? Oh, I have a CPAC, you'll be fine. Whatever it's called.
Yeah.
That's like, you have a duty of care on some level. Like, I'm fairly libertine in my thought, but you have a duty of care on some level. Like, just wow. It reminds me of, like, yeah. So we do want to talk about Dark Side of the Ring, right? We've been talking about Dark Side of the Ring a lot lately. And, WWE's negligence came up there with the whole, this was information that I did not know. The changing of the Carabiner clip to the quick release clip with the Owen Hart death. So this week's episode is about Owen Hart and the final days of Owen Hart and who Owen Hart the man was. I thought it was one of the best episodes of the series, but I didn't know that about the changing of the clip. Did you guys know that going into the episode?
I think I might have heard about it on post wrestling last May. They did like a 45-minute documentary, just audio retrospective, talking with people.
Right.
It must be on the anniversary last year. And I think they got right into the nitty-gritty of who was training to do the whole whatever the thingy. And
the rigging, they call it. Yeah.
The whole rigging. They went into that, yeah. But I, 45 seconds into this episode, I had tears. I'm God. Here we go.
I watched it with my partner. And we were both crying throughout almost the entire thing, because that idea of the kids growing up without a father, of losing a partner, losing a co-parent, or losing a parent, and all of, like, it was very emotional. It was very emotional. Like, there was not a dry eye in this house. It's heavy.
It's good to actually hear from Martha Hart as well. It's like, nobody's ever really heard her story. She did put a book out, like, years and years ago about it, but I didn't know that. How popular it was.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
It was all about her thing.
But it's funny.
Well, she's been focused on the charity as well, like just focusing on the things that she can control, which like, yeah, she's got $1 million
doing good
foundation.
Yeah, but it's this thing like only wrestling fans, and thankfully because of this documentary and her recent podcast appearances, she showed up on Talk Is Jericho. If anyone hasn't listened, because of this recent spate of publicity, I think wrestling fans' opinions of her have changed. I never had a negative opinion of her myself. I did always think it was strange and thought it would be nice if Owen Hart was in the Hall of Fame. Hearing her thinking from her own mouth and also from Jim Cornette's mouth, well, Jim Cornette laid it out, like, she just doesn't want them profiting off his name because she believes they killed her husband, right? And what you saw laid out there, it's hard to argue with her. And she went from being one of the pro wrestling fandom's biggest villains, which only in pro wrestling fandom could that woman be a villain.
Yeah.
Come on, wrestling
fans.
The
victim, one of the victims, yeah.
Yeah, just grow the fuck up. And
the bit that really hit me is when Jim Cornette was talking about how, like, the bit where he almost started crying and he saw it. They went out there and wrestled and his blood was in the ring still and all this sort of stuff. And I'm just like, nearly lost it. And then I was like, oh, here I go again.
Dude, I'm getting there now. You're like, you can't see me, but I'm getting there now. Because, and you're in a tough position. I get it. But how the show didn't end. Like, they talk about there's fans there. Fans paid for 5 more matches or whatever. Did they really want to watch after that? Like,
yeah, you had, like, poor Jim Ross. Like, how he explained how Kevin Dunn in his ear, like, we need an update. Oh, what's the update? Owen passed away. 10, 9, 8. And just...
Yeah.
You should never be putting someone in that position. You should have had him go off the air, apologize, refund tickets, whatever you had to do. It's easy to say that in hindsight. That's the thing that the documentary leaves out. And I do want to talk about this. This is something that you're not going to get in most places because most places aren't conspiracy, Greg. There's a lot of AEW involvement in this documentary. Jim Ross.
Yes.
Chris Jericho. Who knows what else, right? It could be completely independent. Maybe it's not. I don't know. But what I'm saying is, documentaries have agendas, just like the news has an agenda, just like everything has a fucking agenda. Okay, Vince McMahon rewrites history. Yes, is Vince McMahon correct? 90% of the time, probably fucking not. In this case, definitely not. But what he did do was he walked into the courtroom when he settled, or walked into the lawyer office, whatever, when he settled with Martha, he did walk in and do the whole, you know what, this is on us, and we want to do whatever we can to make this right. And he signed a check for $18 million, right? And the documentary doesn't make that seem like a good thing, but it is. It is. He did what he could in the aftermath of a tragedy. And I don't want to say this was just a tragedy. It definitely looks like there was negligence. It definitely looks like there was negligence. But is a documentary that has a heavy AEW involvement, and they are direct competitors at this point. Do not kid yourself. They are direct competitors. Can it be trusted? Does it have no agenda? No. It definitely has an agenda. So, you know, it's one side of the story, folks. One side.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do you think we could see any Owen Hart stuff in AEW? Like, if they just do some sort of, like, memorial cup or anything like that?
I don't think so.
No.
Based on the family's attitude to wrestling, I don't think so.
But on the Talk Is Jericho, I didn't listen to it myself, but I heard that Jericho brought up the idea of, like, you know, the Hall of Fame or just being recognized by another company.
By other companies.
And then Martha's never thought about that before.
Yeah, he asked her straight up, like, would you be interested in, because she was talking about them traveling when they were younger. And she traveled with him to Mexico. She traveled with him. Like, she was one of the boys. She stayed in the, like, they had a camper van and they parked outside the arena and she showered in the men's locker room and Owen had to watch over the showers while she was in having her turn and stuff. And she, the funny anecdote about the showers were pretty much always cold because everyone else had to shower first. And, you know, and so it was a tough life, but she enjoyed it. She was on the road with her childhood love because they were together since they were teenagers. Which again was something I related to because my partner and I have been together since high school. And it's just one of those stories where they're talking about the traveling, and she talked about Japan and how she loved being in Japan, always felt so safe in Japan. Everyone was so accommodating. And how she wants to go back. She wants to take the kids to Japan, and she's talking about for a holiday. And Jericho just goes to her, would you be interested in, like, if New Japan wanted to have you there as a representative of Owen Hart to present something or do something, would you be interested? And she's like, I've never thought about it, and no one's ever approached me, but New Japan were always so lovely, and, you know, maybe. But I don't know, like, he didn't have any link to AEW. I don't think they would, and I don't think she would agree. I don't know. I could be wrong.
Are you surprised by no Bret Hart sit down?
No.
Like, on the top, on the face of it, it's like, oh, it's unusual. But then when you, fuck off, Kat. When you saw what was actually presented in the show, it's like, yeah, like, I think Bret would be a bit out of place, but this is more focused on the actual family or the immediate, you know what I mean?
Well, no, they did actually. So if you listen to Dark Side of the Podcast with Conrad, he talks to the creators, but they did try to get Bret. He didn't get back to him. And it doesn't surprise me, given that, I mean, like they touched on in the show, you know, a good number of people in this family have relied on Vince McMahon for their income for a good number of years. Don't discount that, you know.
You have Natalya and, yeah.
Yeah, and given the vindictiveness of Vince, which is something that I think comes across well in Dark Side of the Ring. But a lot of the episodes, and I talked about it before, a lot of the episodes of Dark Side of the Ring have a very anti-WWE, anti-Vince McMahon bent, and I don't think it's accidental. I don't think it's just a case of, well, if you follow the facts, then you're going to have an anti-WWE bias. Yes and no. You'll have an anti-WWE bias in some cases, and in other cases you won't, but in this show, it's always pretty negative towards the establishment, as it were. So, I don't know. Grain of salt, very enjoyable show though. Very fucking well-made documentary. I love it. I can't get enough. I can't wait for the next season.
And that episode did the highest rating ever so far for them, so.
Yeah, so they're definitely getting renewed. Definitely getting renewed. Let's talk about something that Benny's going to have to go silent on. We watched a movie this week, and I've got some shit to say.
So now there's a reason I didn't watch the Cage Fighter movie.
Go for it. You take it, and then I'm going to get angry.
First you go, I think we should watch this for the podcast. Oh, I'm going to watch it. To you, you thought you bought the movie to watch, and then Mysterious has watched it, and then I was like, well, I guess I better watch it, seeing as though you both watched it. Even though we didn't agree, we're going to watch this movie. And then I said, okay, bit of a... Let me log in. And then it expired. You thought you'd bought the movie, but it turned out
it's the business login. It's the business login, so it's okay. It's a business tax deductible. Yeah. We are a business, as you can see, legitimate here on camera. Which, by the way, your camera
is gone. So
your camera has moved, Ben. So you're a little bit out of frame right now, just so you know. Thanks, Kat. That's better. There we go. Yeah, that's what happened. So basically, I was playing TEW and I got the notification from Fight TV that was just like, hey, Cage Fighter World premiere in half an hour. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to live stream me playing TEW. Why not also commentate on this Cage Fighter movie? Which, by the way, I didn't realize that someone told me halfway through, about half an hour into the movie or 40 minutes into the movie, that the movie audio, because I had it playing through my headset through the soundboard, was coming into the stream. So if you want to listen to the first 40 minutes of Cage Fighter, you know, you can go have a squiz on the Facebook there. But no, so I watched it live. And then obviously you guys have the account details as well, because the B+, it's what we do, and sometimes we will have to pool resources, you know, and that's okay. And so you guys were both meant to watch it, and it was a rental, a $15 rental. What the fuck? $8 for a weekend
rental.
Purchase
price, no rental.
That's ridiculous. I thought it was a purchase, and they're like, you get 20% off because you're a viewer of AEW Plus, and I'm like, sick. $15. You know what? I wasn't going to. We were going to watch that Ben Ting Slam because it was free. It was on, what's the app that you turned us on to? Tubi? Yeah. It was on Tubi, and we were like, that's free. We can watch it. We can tell other people to watch it if it's good. That's sick. Awesome. But instead, this popped up, and I'm like, oh, you know what? You're giving me a discount because I like AEW. I like people who like AEW. I like discounts. Why the fuck not? $15, that's a good price for a movie with John Moxley. Even if it's bad, I'm sure it'll be so bad it's good, right? So I'm like, sick, let's buy this. And then 2 days later, I can't fucking rewatch it. Screw you, Fight TV. Not happy. I'm flipping you the bird. I'm very upset. John Moxley's performance was brilliant, though.
If you want to watch a movie that's so bad it's good, may I recommend The Fanatic, starring John Travolta, written and directed by Limp Bizkit's own Fred Durst.
No!
From Mysterious Real Greed. That movie is amazing, and I won't hear otherwise.
This isn't wrestling related at all, right?
No, it's not wrestling related.
I wish there was a wrestling slant, because I'd crowbar it if I could.
Damn. Well, Fred Durst, though, he did Limp Bizkit's theme song. He did Undertaker's theme song for a while, right, Roland? And the best wrestling package of all time was set to one of his songs. I think we can shoehorn it in. I think we can shoehorn it in.
Don't, Greg. You don't know what you're saying.
I don't know what I'm saying. What's the movie called?
I legitimately loved that movie. That was so fun.
What's it called? I'm going to look this up.
The Fanatic.
It came out last year. It was nominated for all the Razzies. I don't think it actually took any home.
It's going in the notebook. But no, we watched Cage Fighter, and honestly, it was a decent movie. There were some issues where it's like, this is clearly B grade. Like, you know, you've got a close-up shot where the guy's clearly bleeding. Or no, a faraway shot where the guy's bleeding, clearly. And then you zoom in, and he's not bleeding. And then you zoom out, and he's bleeding. And then you zoom in, and he's not bleeding. And then he gets cut open. And you're like, hang on. He's been bleeding for about 4 seconds in the other shot. Poor editing. Right, there was little bits like that. Yeah, little bits of inconsistency, like you need to hire one of those guys. What are they called? Director of continuity or some shit. And they just make sure from shot to shot, everything in the office scene is exactly where it was, and you don't have a stapler moving to the other side of the desk, right? Like, there's people whose job that is. What a great job. I assume you get paid well, and that's all you got to do? Sick. But no, there were little things like that. But the big problem the movie had for me was the main character just was not likable at all. Just was not likable, was not relatable, even slightly.
No.
This movie's not even on IMDb. It's just complete. Like, I'm just going to check the ratings and stuff. And it's like the movie hasn't been released. Like, well, it's got no score.
This was a world premiere.
It's just standard protagonist guy. Like, there's not much to him. He's family man. It's the Rocky III story.
He's not a family man. Honestly, at the beginning of the movie, it seemed like he was a very inattentive boyfriend, a very poor father. Like, it didn't seem at all like he was good at anything other than fighting. And then he lost, and he chucked a big tantrum, and he complained that he lost, and then he went out for another fight, and then he struggled. Lost. He lost again because he wasn't focused, because he still couldn't get out of his head from the first loss. And then he retired. He spit the dummy. He's like, if I can't be the best, I don't even want to do this. Like, that's just not relatable. I'm sorry. Like, that's not a hero. Okay, it's relatable. There are people who give up. Yes. But that's not a hero. You watch a movie because you want to cheer on a hero. You want a baby face and a heel. John Moxley was supposed to be the heel, so be the baby face. He just wasn't. He was not likable. And then the whole idea is, yeah, but you got the hero's journey, right? You've got to face the demons. You've got to go into the underground and face the demons. Yes, you are right, Joseph Campbell fan. That is the hero's journey. You have to descend into the darkness. Often it's an internal darkness, not a literal darkness. In Lord of the Rings, it's quite literal. But here's the thing. The movie is supposed to, or the story you're telling is supposed to address the hero's journey. It's supposed to address that descent into the darkness. It was done in a 5-minute montage where all of a sudden I'm supposed to believe, okay, he's an attentive father now. Look at that. Oh, he's being good to his people now. He's actually focusing on training and not caring about this Hollywood movie. But the thing is, of course he doesn't care about the Hollywood movie anymore because it got taken away from him. You need to have him realize these things on camera. You need to have him have those moments of realization. That's how you build a likable character. He needs to actually come around. You don't throw all that stuff into a montage and go, there you go, you can like him now and cheer for him. No, I can't, because I didn't actually see any of that shit. You just told me it happened and I'm supposed to believe you. Well, I'm sorry, but it's 2020 and, you know, film manipulation exists and I don't believe a fucking word that you just said. He's the same douchebag and he... I'm not cheering for him. Fuck him. Go Moxley or whatever your name was.
I've got a question for you. How did they incorporate the AEW? Like, John Moxley is... It's somebody playing John Moxley on...
No, he had a different
AEW
name.
Programming.
Randy Stone. No.
So Randy Stone is meant to be the real John Moxley? Is that the way?
No, it's just the character. Like, they didn't call AEW AEW either. Like, it was just...
No, they didn't.
He was just the wrestling world champion.
But they use AEW footage.
Yeah. Christian was the highlight, though, right, as the podcaster.
Yeah, right. He was the executive producer of the movie as well, as it turns out. Yeah. So
he's like, this isn't scripted like the other place you came from. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Best line in the trailer so and
how
the
was,
movie.
How did Moxley, was he in it much? Or was he just like the big bad that's going to turn up for the final fight?
Big bad. Well, he was in two fights. So he was... In a fight in the middle where he won, and then a fight in the middle where at the end where he lost. Yeah. Spoiler, sorry.
That's right. And how was his acting?
Rocky trick. Yeah, it was solid. Like, it wasn't outside of the realm of what he does anyway as Moxley, like in AEW. It wasn't really, there aren't any.
Yeah, he was a heel.
Like, scenes outside of the. Yeah, he was a heel. Like, there aren't any really scenes outside of matches. Like you had the press conferences and like the random match, meetups and
so he was on the podcast, so he cuts a promo. There was videos of him cutting a promo and they're sitting there watching him cut a promo on the guy and they're like, oh, this guy's entertaining, but we're gonna knock him out, it's gonna be easy. And then he wins and then there's another promo. There was a point where he was in the crowd during the guy's other fight and he's like jeering him from the sidelines. He was Moxley. He wasn't Ambrose and he wasn't I forget his real name. Is his real name Moxley? No, that's a work name too, right?
John Good, isn't it?
Yeah.
John
he wasn't
Good.
John Good.
Yep.
He was Moxley in this, to me, at least. And I thought it was good. He made a good... Like, this was Rocky, except you don't like Rocky.
Yeah. And like I was thinking, like, Moxley would be the central character, because I didn't watch the trailer. I thought he would be the central guy to focus on, and then you're it's the MMA guy that we're focusing on, and the fact that he gets embarrassed by Mox. Like, okay,
honestly, Moxley's character story in this would have been better. I probably would have liked that more. The wrestling guy getting into it and actually succeeding. It's like a what if CM Punk actually was good? It's like that story, you know. And it could have been a good story to tell. But and I'm probably going to upset some people here, but this is my final take, I think it just speaks to. The culture of MMA fans, that this guy is considered to be likable. I think that, you know, maybe these guys are looking at MMA fans and going, you know what? A lot of these guys are D-bags. And so if we make the protagonist a D-bag, then all these D-bags will be like, yeah, bro, fucking knock him out, bro. That pro wrestling shit's fake, bro. Like, no, this was stupid. It was bad. But overall, it was still decent. It was better than half of the movies we've watched. I've got it, like, literally, in terms of our... isolation movie scale, it's literally slap bang in the middle. Half the stuff we've watched has been better, half the stuff we've watched has been worse.
Mysterious, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I'd say it's pretty fair. Obviously, you have, like, my dad is a heel wrestler, that's the pinnacle at the moment.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. It's going to be really hard to beat that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I put this equal footing in terms of enjoyability. I put this equal footing with the Big Show show. It's like, it's okay to have on.
Really?
Yeah.
I enjoyed this more than the Big Show show personally, but yeah.
No, I say it's good to have on, but don't devote any time to it. Don't devote any real attention to it because you'll think it's stupid.
Okay.
That's my overall take.
I will say this movie, like, it had a look, because the runtime when you look at it was about 2.5 hours, and the movie only goes for about 90 minutes, but like you didn't have the little preview option to see what was after, like the little, like, just to see the images, to see what's happening next. You didn't see that. So I thought this movie was a dead-on 2.5-hour movie. And then we had that second fight. I'm just like, oh, do we have another 40 minutes here? But what they actually did fill it with. Yeah, is there a third fight? Is he going to go in the wrestling ring and have a wrestling match, like pro wrestling match? But it was actually a 40-minute interview hosted by Matt Stryker, talking to Moxley, talking to the director, and talking to Christian. And they were just explaining, breaking down everything about the movie, which I really did appreciate. One of the things they talked about is that the MMA fighter, in the final fight, he did actually break his groin doing something. So they had to incorporate that, because the end fight is he beats Moxley by, like, he chokes him out. like just out of the blue, he just all of a sudden he just grabs him and he just doesn't let go.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really random, and then they explain that just like, yeah, that makes sense.
Probably
now.
Physically couldn't do anything. Yeah.
So I'm gonna go off script.
Pretty much.
I'm gonna take us off the run sheet. So we can talk about the NXT and AEW ratings and stuff. We can talk about that when we do our Double or Nothing preview up next. But what we want to do right now is we want to close the same way we opened. We opened, obviously, with a 10-bell salute. There have been some unfortunate passings this week in the world of professional wrestling. And I'm closing with this for a reason, because I do think there's a message we need to take out of one of these passings. But let's start with Shad Gaspard, former WWE superstar, member of Crime Time. When I was telling my partner, who was a wrestling fan in that era when Crime Time were around, when I was telling her, I opened the story with, oh, so Shad, I'm like, did you hear about what happened with Shad? And she's like, from Crime Time? I'm like, yeah. She's like, no. I'm like, well, he was swimming at the beach with his son. And she's like, oh, God. She's thinking that it's going to be one of these coronavirus, he got arrested stories, for going out in public with another person or something. And then when I told her the whole thing, she was in tears, and she was just like, oh, man. Why couldn't he have just gotten arrested? I always enjoyed Shad and JTG, and like, I don't have a personal story or anything like that, but I just loved their fucking work. I thought they were hilarious. And he went out making sure other people, because there were other people caught in the rip. He was swimming, got caught in a rip. His son got caught in the rip. There were apparently a handful of other individuals caught in the rip. And when the lifeguards came out to save him, he made sure they took other people first, and he ended up going under a big wave and getting dragged out to sea. And it's fucking awful. And he died a hero, and he died a father, because that's what any father would do, and you know, any good father would do. And it sucks. And our thoughts and prayers go out to them.
Yeah, when I first saw it come up, I thought, who is this? I had to click on it. He wrestled during the time that I wasn't watching any WWE, but then. Right. Yeah, it's just like the story today. You read the co-workers and the people, the friends, like their comments on social media. It's just heartbreaking stuff.
A lot of people touched by it, and some good news to come out of it is he was working on I think we've actually talked about the show he was working on. He was working on a show about pro wrestling that he really wanted to get made, and his wife has taken to Twitter and said that, you know, she's gonna make it her mission to make sure that this thing he was working on gets made. And Mick Foley has stepped in and said, look, if there's anything I can do to help. So, you know, hopefully that gets made. Hopefully, like, The Rock put out a touching tribute, and if anyone can get something made in Hollywood, it's The Rock. Yeah. So let's hope something comes of that, because it'd be nice to see that happen for him and his family. But we should also talk about Hana Kimura.
This is very recent.
Way to ruin the day, man.
I mean, good okay, work, first, before we get into Hana Kimura, I do want to touch on briefly Larry Sonka. Again, it was something that may fly under the radar for a lot of people, but he's a reviewer. And if you've ever just typed in, if you've ever wanted to know what happened on NXT, like, so sometimes for us, we don't always get the chance to watch everything, right? And so for some of our shows, I will literally go NXT review Sonka. Because he's the guy that you listen to. He's the guy that you check, because he very much just tells you what happened and did he think it was good. And he's like one of the most prolific wrestling reviewers in the world that we're in of covering wrestling online. And he passed away as well this week. I don't know the details of it, but he passed away earlier in the weekend, leaving behind a family. There's a GoFundMe. So if you search Larry Sonka GoFundMe, if you're the kind of person who wants to help out the family in this situation, and you're in a position to do so, because obviously we're all doing it a little bit tougher at the moment with the things that are going on. But, you know, people are losing people, and it's awful. But Hana Kimura is one that legitimately we, as wrestling fans, could have prevented. I'm not the type of wrestling fan to shitbag people on Twitter, and I know neither of you are either. But we've had those people on this show before. And it sucks. And when we realized that those people were no longer on this show, don't do it, people. So, Mysterious, you brought this to our attention today right before we went live, and like Benny said, ruined our day. Why don't you let us know what happened here?
So, obviously, it's just a unfolding situation at the moment, but Stardom released the the statement as well that she passed away at the age of 22. We don't know how she passed, but there were some tweets and some images that she released that looked like she was self-harming, and that there were maybe there's some cyberbullying at play, which does lead many to think that she may have committed suicide. But again, we don't know the cause of death yet. But regardless, woman has, like, her career, her life has been cut far too short. And if it is because of the reasons that we think it is, then it's just heartbreaking, and we should be building each other up, especially in times like this.
I think this is from, she was on Terrace House in Japan. I don't know if you're familiar with Terrace Show. It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
But she was like a recent cast member, and she'd done something on there, and the viewers weren't very, she wasn't very popular with them. And so they'd been going at her for a while. I think she'd already left the show because the way that fans had reacted to her. I'm not sure about that though.
Yeah. Well, so. I haven't watched the show, but I do know she was on that. And so it's those fans as well. But let's be frank. Like there is a wrestling fandom, especially on Twitter, can be disgusting and toxic. And a lot of us hate Twitter. A lot of us hate Twitter for that exact reason, right? It's so much, especially, I mean, we're here on the B+ podcast. Be positive, people. We believe in positivity. We believe in lifting people up. It's that old adage, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say it. And Twitter has made everyone think that their opinion's actually worth a damn. I'm not under any illusion that just because I'm sitting here with a microphone and a fucking camera that my opinion actually means shit to anyone. Take everything I say with a grain of salt. Take everything anyone else says with a grain of salt. But there's a lot of people out there that just act like, and we've, like I said, we've talked to them, you know? And it's gross. And there's wrestling fans, especially there's a certain subset of wrestling fans who often overlap with a certain subset of anime fans and other, you know, fans of Japanese wrestling, specifically Japanese women's wrestling, even more specifically, who are particularly, particularly toxic. And there's a lot that goes into it. I have family members who, I feel like I'm about to rant and go weird with it, but like I have family members who are on the spectrum and they have very similar interests. And I think there's a lot of people on the spectrum who have these interests, not everyone. And people who are on the spectrum aren't necessarily all going to have the same traits and what have you, but there's a certain insensitivity that can come from these particular subcultures and where they overlap. And wrestling is one of these subcultures, and Japanese women's wrestling is very attractive to these specific people. And I don't know what it is, but it's a very insensitive culture. And you see it on Twitter and it's disgusting. And at a certain point you need to know, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say it. And if you can't stop yourself from tweeting, turn off Twitter, delete it, get rid of it. You need to have some level of self-control. You need to be able to know what is or isn't appropriate. I'm sure I have inappropriate tweets in my past, you know, cause I've been young and dumb and believed stupid things, but I don't think I've ever insulted anyone's person or attacked anyone like that. And if I have, I apologize. Like it's disgusting, and someone's taken their life because of it. And I believe in freedom of speech, and I believe that everyone has a right to say what they want. I don't think that anyone should ever, you know, go to jail or anything for saying what they want or what they believe or their opinion on anything. But do know that you're probably a dick. And we have the right Absolutely. To say that. So don't be a dick, yeah. People. I don't know. I liked Hanakamura, man.
Yeah. I was just playing as her a couple of days ago on Fire Pro Wrestling with the Stardom pack. It was the first time I used it. It's like Hanakamura, that's like the one name here I really know. So I'm going to play as her.
So. Yeah. I liked her stuff. It sucks. And it could have been prevented.
She had a big career ahead of her. Yeah.
Reach out to people.
And also from Stardom, Arisa had just retired due to injury at age 24. And now this is
the neck injury, yeah.
I don't know. I just think that especially at the moment, like mental health is such a thing because we're all isolated from one another. Like I saw my sister. I saw my sister today for the first time in like 3 months. You know what I mean? Like it's just like reach out to people. And now of all times, now is the time to be nice and uplifting and positive. And you know, just don't be a dick. It's really not that hard. It's quite simple. Just don't be a dick, and hopefully, you know, people can stay alive. And if you are struggling at all, reach out to someone. I know it can be hard, but you can always reach out to us. You can slide into our DMs. Where can people find you guys if they want to slide in the DMs, if they do need to have a chat? And it can be about anything. Where can people find you guys? Start with you, Mr. Mysterious.
You can find me at Mr. Mysterious with 17i, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. Just, yeah, if you feel you need to talk, or like you just want to reach out in some manner, like our platform's always free. The things like this, they shouldn't happen. They really shouldn't. How about you, Ben?
Oh, well, wasn't it like anybody that listens to one of these shows ever tweeted at me, so blame me.
All right, fine.
I'm
going to flash it up on the screen. I don't have it with me. Next time I'm going to flash it up on the screen in case he throws us that. So I'm at Greg Does Tweets on Twitter, which, yeah, it's toxic. I don't use it a lot, but I'm there. So Greg Does Tweets on Twitter if you want to find me there. Greg Does Graham on Instagram. What was it? One of our old co-hosts used to say, don't add me on Facebook because we're not friends. But you can find our B-plus Facebook.
Yeah.
There's also the B-plus Wrestle on Twitter because wrestling would fit the B-plus Wrestling everywhere else. I'm also Greg Does Radio on Station Head. I'm still doing that. No one else joins me ever, but come on Station Head, man. It's fucking awesome. It's radio. They actually get paid when we listen to music and talk about, I don't know. Anyway, and Greg Does Things on Twitch. So twitch.tv/GregDoesThings, where I'm playing TEW. You can also find that on the B Plus Facebook and stuff. So get around it, like, share, subscribe, 5-star review if you like what we do. And thank you so much for listening and watching, I guess, if you're watching this. Thank you very much for watching. You wanna mess with us? 'Cause we're standing around.